Hey, it's Matt Mikowski. You're watching the Three Count Podcast.
Do you want to get live with me? Do you really want to ride with me? I'm in the club.
Welcome, everybody, to another great edition of the Three Count Podcast Presents. Now entering, I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And by now, with this being season five, I would just hope you stay with me. I am your Sherpa, because like your tribal chief, acknowledge me. But like every good Sherpa, you gotta have someone who's been there, done that, and can do it more efficiently than you can. And that's why it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering the ring today? You can find this man at Rad Pro. You can find this man at ICW, Pizza Party, HTO, Beyond, JCW, PPW, Grind, ROH. He is a mixed martial artist. He is a force to be reckoned with. He is Weapon X, Matt Mikowski.
Thank you for that.
Yo. Hey, so so we met at Grind, right, a couple months back. And I was so fascinated because you and I were talking and I made the comment to you. I was like, yeah, I'm turning 39 this year. And you just looked at me, you're like, I'm right there with you. Like, what do you mean? It's like, then I think about it, I was like, oh, we the same age.
Yeah, we're close.
I was like, wow. I was like, this dude. Because, I started pro wrestling in 2020. And mm-hmm. So I saw, like, I think you've been active, like, about 5-6 years now. So it's like, I'm like, oh, that's just someone I could talk to now. I can actually kind of, like, relate to. And someone who lived a whole nother life, especially with you having, like, this mixed martial arts background. I was former military. So, like, yeah. I understand, like, the whole wave. And I'm like, bro, like, this is so crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I have so much respect now for more so than I did before, obviously having done this for a few years now, for everyone that does pro wrestling, kind of gets out there, gets in the ring. But definitely I have it's a little bit higher for anybody that's like pushing, you know, a plus 35, like mad respect. It's just like, it's not, it's not necessarily a young, person's game.
It's not an old man sport. It definitely is true. No, it's crazy because it's like I was saying, right, is that you've lived a whole life before pro wrestling. I have lived a whole life before pro wrestling. And when you get in, you have like this different mindset of like pro wrestling. And it's something I've noticed, right? Like you're not seeing like your character is very much grounded in who you are, but it's like, you understand, like, I'm not taking these like high risk super big bumps because it's not necessary for pleasure. Like you said, you're a lot older, and I'm in the same point where I'm like, listen, dude, I lived a whole life in the military. I did unnecessary things. Yeah. I'm really not trying to do all this. My character's like a ground tactician. Like he just wants to break you down and just find your weaknesses. And I'm like, I'm really not trying to. You're not going to see me do, I can do a 450 splash, but you're not going to see me hit one in a match because it's not necessary.
I mean, yeah, like I'm not going to say I'm going to pull out a 450 or anything, but yeah, I try to save the big stuff for, I try to save it, which is kind of like on the independence is probably not the right mentality. Cause you kind of have to be like putting everything out there all the time. Cause there's only so many people like seeing your stuff every time, so it's like what are you really saving anything for? But I mean, I'll say like I make educated choices when it comes to like what I want to do in terms of, and a lot of that has to do with my body and just making sure that I can continue to do this. I had a couple months ago, I just came back from an ACL tear, so like I don't really want to be on the shelf again. I think there are plenty of ways to have great matches, exciting matches without maybe putting yourself at risk. I mean, we put ourselves at risk every single time the bell rings, you know, it doesn't even matter. Like I got hurt doing some normal thing. Like it wasn't even anything crazy. And so that stuff can happen anytime. So obviously you can create, like a higher, level of danger if you want. And, you know, if the match calls for it, the scenario calls for something, and I think it'll hit right, then you know, I'm usually game for just about anything. But yeah, it's not like a, you know, I think I can be entertaining in other ways. There's a lot of guys that do certain stuff, and I feel like I bring like a unique, I can at least bring a unique, however, moveset, just kind of a different vibe to my matches. So
yeah,
I kind of try to stick with that.
And that's the thing for like me, like I know, like I've grown, like I had like a wrestling background prior to even just like getting into like in the military, like,
yeah.
And then, you know, even spent a few years like in Hawaii training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, as well as in like taking some active classes in like Muay Thai. But it's like, for like my wrestling character, I want him to kind of just be sporadic, where people just like, they don't expect things to happen that he's going to throw out. And it just adds to the craziness of who Red Dog, the mercenary, is.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, and it's so weird because it's like, you're so focused on adding layers to the character as far as like a moveset goes. Cause, and then you're like, I don't want to, like, you had a perfect example, right? Like you said, you want to save those for like big matches or big moments. And like, I see it's weird because like today, like when I'm watching wrestling, whether it's indie or we can even call it, you know, WWE or AEW top player, I guess. It's so weird because it's like the move structures all kind of seem the same. And there's really like, you're like, okay, well, here comes the big bump or here comes the big moves. And you're like kind of calling it and you're like, I just wish to see something just that would just throw me off. Like, I'll put a perfect example right there. So today, for those who are wondering, Pro Wrestling Grind has their show that they just did on Saturday playing right now. Actually, at this moment that we're talking. But Miracle Generation and Main Event had this match, right?
Yeah.
And Main Event hits this big move. And I'm like, oh, this is it. Hey, we going home. It's crazy. And then one, two, and then Dustin Waller pulls him out. Pulls the ref out, and I was like,
Oh.
I was like, that got me. And everybody else around me was just like, we've seen this before. And I was like, why am I the only one that popped?
I mean, I think that's a good point in general when it comes to like independent wrestling, and was part of what kind of drew me in. Like, I actually discovered independent wrestling kind of late in the late 2000s with Chikara. They're kind of based out of Philly. And like a friend of mine that was training at my MMA gym was going to this event and was like, hey, do you want to come? I was a huge wrestling fan as a kid. You know, it's big Bret Hart guy, Undertaker, all that stuff. And when I went to this independent wrestling show, it like blew my mind. I did not know that like this is what professional wrestling could be. And that really just kind of hooked me, and I always credit that for the motivation. I mean, it was years ago, and it took me a while to kind of get to the point where I was like, you know, I'm gonna try this myself. But yeah. It's definitely planted the seeds. You know, I went to, I don't know if you ever heard of King of Trios. It's basically the WrestleMania for Chikara. They'd bring in people from all over the world, and like big names. It was like, you know, it was Chikara's WrestleMania, and it was like usually a three event weekend, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing. And that was my first experience. Like, I was seeing like the Young Bucks, El Generico. It was just crazy, and I couldn't believe it. And so kind of like what you're saying is like, definitely sometimes, especially, I guess, I think it's the, I don't like talking shit about anybody's product or anything like that, but like, definitely some things can get like repetitive, or like you said, there's very predictable. Everyone likes to be surprised. And I feel like definitely like there's a lot of that on the independents. I would say with AEW's like kind of how they started and almost kind of was born from like the independents in a way. I get that vibe watching AEW, you know, more so than maybe other television wrestling. Not to say there isn't other great wrestling out there, but I tend to, and I know a lot of the people that I guess that work there, and that's kind of the part of the reason why I kind of lean towards AEW when it comes to like my if I'm gonna watch wrestling on television or what have you.
No. That's really funny. Like, what was the moment though that you got hooked and you're like, all right, it's time for me to become a join this pro wrestling thing.
Yeah, I mean, so like ever since, I don't remember the exact moment per se, but I would after that weekend in, I think it was maybe March at the time, it was spring 2009. I would kind of peruse like the website for like, I would just kind of check out the Wrestle Factory website, which is the school for Chikara, and just kind of like, you know, I was just curious, you know, I was just looking, and then I don't know, I kind of like, you know, I was a big fan. I was going to a lot of the shows locally, and then Chikara did this thing where they like shut down for a while, and actually they kind of weren't in the public eye much, so I kind of fell off during that a little bit, and then it came back. I started going again, and I had been done with competing in mixed martial arts at this point, and I really just like needed like a new, something new for me to kind of pursue, and again, it was always this thing I was like kicking around, like I want to try wrestling, you know. And the Wrestle Factory made it like real kind of easy. And it was like a slow roll. There was like these like introductory lessons or like, and it was like a free workshop. Mm. It's like, come in and check it out. You know, it was like, check out the school or check out the training. And then even from there, it was like a very like, cause pro wrestling training is like, can be really scary. At least it kind of used to be like, okay, give us $5,000. And then, you know, it's like, what the, you know, that's like, what the hell? Like, that's a strange model, I'll tell you, but you know, I don't know, maybe a lot of schools, I don't know how a lot of schools still kind of operate, but like anyway, there was like a 7-week course for like a couple hundred bucks or whatever, like $200, and I was like, I like the workshop, let me try this out. And then I did that, kind of just kind of snowballed into, all right, I'm ready to kind of commit to the big thing, you know, and sign up for that, and yeah, it kind of just went from there. That was in like 2016, so again, it was a pretty big gap there, but yeah, that was kind of how, that's kind of when it got going.
It's funny for me because like it's crazy because like I think like 2017, my daughter, because at the time like I got pretty big, like I was like fat, and my daughter told me I was getting squishy. And so I was like, I need to go to the gym. I need to start working out. And I think it was 2016 when she said that. And in 2017, like our gym had opened up, and in like my town when I was living in Maryland, actually, in this place called Catonsville. So I went there to this gym called Retro Fitness, and I started training, and I was like, got in really good shape. And then randomly, I just happened to see this guy with a green t-shirt that said, that was like John Cena, right? Uh-huh. And I was like, yo, okay. So him and I started chatting back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I was like, yo, I started talking about wrestling, and then randomly kept seeing the same dude like pop up in like my grocery stores.
Oh,
like,
wow.
And I was at the time, I had left my job and I went to work for, actually, people are going to find this out for the first time, Kraft Heinz. Like I was the mac and cheese dude for a long time. Uh-huh. And so, I started seeing this dude randomly in all my grocery stores. And so finally I sat down one day and talked to him, and I was like, hey, you're Chris, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, what do you do? And he was just like, oh, I'm a wrestler. I was like pro wrestling? And he's like, not exactly. I was like, oh, I got you. And so, he was like, yo, you want to come check out one of our shows? I was like, bet. And so, like, I remember walking in and just seeing a ring for the first time, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I was like, I've been around wrestling my whole life, like, you know, and my first moments of like being introduced to pro wrestling was with Jake the Snake Roberts getting bit by, was letting a snake bite Macho Man.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit.
That's a crazy intro.
And then later, like, I would find it all over again. Like, late, a couple years later, I would find it all over again with Chris Jericho and Rey Mysterio and Dean Malenko and Psychosis. And I see all these cruiserweights, Juventud Guerrera. I see all these cruiserweights like doing all this cool stuff. And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And then I just remember like growing, and then like, it's funny because like I never thought about it. I was like, yeah, you know, that could be cool. That could be fun to do. And I remember like going to everywhere I went, like wrestling was around. And I think, you know, I had brought this up to another worker and they had said, the same thing. They're like, if you're looking for it, it's going to be there. But I would never be looking. I just walked down our like dorm room one day in our common area. And like on the TV, there's Raw. One of the guys on my wrestling team was a massive wrestling fan. So like, I was like, and I think about it now and I'm like, maybe it was just a sign pointing me to like, yeah, stupid. So I was like, cool, let's get it. And then, yeah. So finally I made the jump like in 2020, in January of 2020, actually. And I was like, yo, this is going to be everything I wanted to do. And it has been, it's been a real treat. I thought wrestling has been like one of those things that like, it's rewarding tenfold. Like you said, you needed something to kind of like, all right, I need to get like that competitive juice kind of rolling. And yeah. I think that's what we get it. Okay. It's predetermined, but like it gets you fired up in the same aspect.
Oh yeah. Like, I mean, I almost have to get more fired up for like wrestling matches than I ever did for any of my fights or anything. Cause you know, when it came to like competing, or like kickboxing or MMA, like I'll try to be relaxed, like try to, you don't want to get too amped up, heart rate spikes, and then a lot of bad things happen. It's the same in wrestling, honestly. Like I have to have a routine that I kind of go through because I've had some matches where like I just get blown up real quick, real soon. And I hate that. I just like that's why I trained so hard when I was competing, because I didn't want to get tired when I was fighting. I was just like, that's one of the worst things. It's like you can't. Kind of one of the things you can control for the most part, and I just, if you get gassed, it's like it's bad news. So it's, yeah, you know, I would always try to stay calm when I was fighting, but with wrestling it's a little bit different. You know, you got to be a little bit more animated, a little bit more you know, maybe a little more energy at like basically coming right through that curtain. So yeah, I have a little like routine that I'll do usually. If there's space, you know, it's not always.
Yes.
Sometimes we're all jammed in a broom closet and it's like, yeah, you can barely do a push up in here, you know?
Yeah, I have like the one thing I have to make sure to have with me every time is a bag full of gummy bears. Like I've gotten to the point where like I've gotten so nervous, like before matches that just like I would overthink it and that would come out way too fast and then I would be like I'd be blown up, right? Like gummy bears, and it doesn't have to be a special kind, right? Just put it out there. It could be just a normal kind. Harbro gummy bears will be just fine. But I would just be snacking on them and it would just take my mind off of
that. Help you calm down.
Yeah, take my mind off of everything, because like,
all right,
I have high anxiety anyway, and so like for me just it gives me something else to focus on. Yeah. And I just calm down. Crazy part too is that, you know, obviously the research says that like eating like a high in sugar is actually good for you right before you go and compete with something. So I'm like, okay cool. So let me just, I'll grab like a handful. And the funny thing was, is like in Maryland, Delaware, and Pennsylvania, and in West Virginia, like anybody who's like worked with me like in that area knows that I have a bag of gummy bears, and they always come to me. They're like, right.
Hey, Clint, hey, can I get some bears? Gummy bears.
I'm like, it's like the three things you'll find in my bag, extra wrist tape, gummy bears, and fucking a Sharpie. And everybody's like, yo, Cliff's the guy. Go get something from him. I'm like, stop it, man. Or Tylenol. That's the other one I have in my bag too. So I'm like, hey, stop. Stop asking me for stuff, man. Be prepared.
Mine's similar.
Yo, let me ask you, man, what's one of the worst bumps you've taken?
Oh, man. You know, when I first started, like, so a big thing with me and wrestling, like, I'm backtracking a little bit here, but, like, I wasn't sure if my back was going to explode when I first hit the mat or something. Like, that's what I was nervous about. Like, I didn't really know what to expect, and that's kind of what maybe slowed me down from kind of getting started. I wasn't really sure, you know. I was just like, and not to say bumps are easy or anything, but you know, having practiced and done it now, it's that they're not as bad as maybe I thought they were gonna be. When I started wrestling, like when I started actually kind of getting matches and taking bookings and stuff, You know, that's when things started to get a little more real, and you might take some people get like some adrenaline, and they maybe put a little too much into some of their stuff or whatever. But so I guess what I'm trying to say is like just a couple, maybe once or twice in a couple of my, you know, within my first 6 months or so, like I took something, I'd be like, oh my God, that was terrible. And it's nothing that anybody did. It's not like they weren't being like safe or anything. I just maybe wasn't expecting it. Maybe I didn't bump right or exhale, kind of like knock the wind out of me a little bit, or just like, it was actually pretty simple. I was in a tag match. This just kind of popped in my head. Cause I remember thinking like, oh, that felt way worse than I was expecting. So, it was like, I was basically in, I'm sitting on the second turnbuckle facing out. So like, and then basically they just throw me down. Mm. That was it, really, you know, nothing crazy, but I don't know. I wasn't expecting the force or the just maybe because also it's in the corner. So that's not the, you know, that's not the softest part of the ring or anything. The corners are a little bit, you know, a little less forgiving.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I've had some stuff where it's like I tweaked a shoulder here, or, you know, tweaked my this there. Nothing crazy though. Yeah, that was within my first six matches. I just I didn't really know how much this comes. This is a little different than bumps, but like strikes, and everybody's a little different. But I fought this gentleman, and you know, he was great. Tom Kwon Do out in Ohio, and he kicked me in the chest, and I was not anticipating it being that hard. And I just was like, I kind of had like a light bulb go off, like, oh, this is what it is. And that's not to say that's like what it is across the board, because some people just work a little bit stiffer than others or whatever. Yeah, so now pretty much now when I work with anybody, I'm pretty much bracing for the hardest shit I've ever taken every time, unless I've worked with them before or something. Just so I don't get any surprises, or you know, kind of anything that knocks the wind out of me. Like I got like flash KO'd, because somebody called a slap. It was like a called thing. He's like, all right, I'm gonna slap you. I'm like, okay, you know, and I'm like, whatever. And it's not actually that funny, but because I don't know. I take the head trauma stuff pretty seriously, but you know, I got like flash KO'd. Like I basically went down, I caught myself, but then like I came to and I was like, oh shit, there's a match happening. so that, you know, that was another wake up. That was early on too, where I like just didn't really expect that kind of thing to happen at that point. You know, it was just, I guess it's kind of a shitty like lesson to learn, but it's, I don't know, it's probably a lesson everybody learns at some point a little bit.
Yeah. I recently had one of those too. I did a drop kick off the middle turnbuckle, and I was supposed to hit the guy, and I think I just like overshot a little too far and just smacked my head on the back of the mat. Yeah. And was just out.
Oh.
And I just remember it was weird. So I was out, but then like I heard like the slow clap. And so like I knew that was my
point. I woke you back up.
So, like, oh, yo, I have the match. It is ridiculous. Oh, man. The only time
I hope you're all right, dude. That's scary.
Yeah. So I remember like, well, yeah, and this was like back in November. So I'm a lot better now. But yeah, so it happened. And so like the clap's happening, right? And I get up and like I'm trying to tell, and it's a triple threat match versus like this crazy part, right? So the second guy is kind of out, and I want to go tell the other person that I'm not there. And the ref thought I was okay because I guess like I might have just responded, just instinctively.
Yeah.
So I walk over and I put my hand on my opponent's shoulder and he bumped. And like, it's not like I hit him. It was more like a, hey, boom. That's, like, oh, that's not what was supposed to happen. Because I was supposed to throw a clothesline. So I was like, bro, like, I'm not good. And that's what I was trying to tell him. So at one point, like, he's like, yo, do something. I was like, bro, I'm not good. I'm kind of loopy. Where are we at? And he was just like, all right, just give me some shots and then pick me up. And the rest of the match went off the way it was supposed to go. But yeah, for like a for a good like 15 seconds, yeah, I was like, I got knocked out. And for like 3 seconds, I got back up and like was trying to like sell. And then I heard the crowd clapping. And that's when I was like, okay, I got to get up. I got to at least tell him that I'm not good right now. Yeah. And people, yeah, I was like, yo, this is not fun.
Yeah. I mean, I'm careful. I try to be real careful with anything, you know, that I'm doing to anyone's head. And then if anybody's doing anything to my head, like, and I realized you were just doing your own drop kick. So it's like, yeah, like those like shotgun drop kicks are like, you know, that's the thing. I'll try to like avoid things where I might be giving offense, but then I take like a bunch of damage from it somehow, you know, like I've done a decent amount of those, not off the second, but yeah. You know,
I was grateful that like everything worked out the way it worked out. And like, everybody was like, yeah, we're fine. I was like, yo, but I remember going to wrestling practice, like, the next week, and I was like, listen, like, because I had missed like I got injured on a Sunday, I missed a whole week, and then the next week I went back to wrestling practice, and they're like, hey, where you been? I was like, listen, bro, like, I'm coming back from concussion,
yeah,
and I'm really not trying to take any bumps. And everybody was like, oh, yeah, no, great, bro, like, at least you're taking that seriously. We're like, I can roll around and stuff like that and just work on some stuff and try to figure some things out, but I'm not really trying to like, like, no, yeah, definitely, we're just gonna keep you okay. And I was like, all right, bet. And then one of the other guys went to do head takeover, and then I just do a full flip bump. Like, you know, instead of rolling over, I was like, yo, of course this is the way I'm just gonna go into this. All right, so I like talk about wrestling, but this is one of the rare times where I get to talk to somebody about some like mixed martial arts and talk to them about like just like the landscape and stuff like that, man. So what drove you into wanting to get into MMA?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. My friends from high school, so this was, you know, many moons ago at this point, but they were into like traditional martial arts. Like, there was a kung fu school in my town. There wasn't really any like, you know, jiu-jitsu in 2000. One, two, three was, you know, very rare. not to date myself, but anyway. So yeah, my friends are into like kung fu and stuff, but then, you know, martial arts movies, which I was into as well, and all that. I don't know how they found it, but we just found like Pride and the UFC. And, you know, this was back in when there was only maybe 5-6 UFCs a year. So it was always like a pretty big deal, you know, like bi-monthly, like it's UFC night. We would always get so stoked. And it'd be like 5 matches, you know, that's it. They didn't show prelims. There wasn't like, it was 5 fights and that was it. And so it was always like a big deal. We just got like really into it. You know, we even like, my buddy had maybe like one of those like Gracie books that was like beginner level jiu-jitsu stuff. We would like try to practice stuff. We even did some like kind of like fights in like high school. I had like a little club.
Nice.
But yeah, nobody got messed up, but nobody got like seriously injured or anything. But yeah, we did some like kind of like little fights with like boxing gloves on and like submissions and stuff. But And so when I left my friend, these two friends of mine actually both joined the Marine Corps out of high school. And I went to college. I went to Temple in Philadelphia. And, you know, while I'm looking at schools, I'm also looking to see if there's MMA gyms in the area. So I was looking, I don't know. I really kind of was locked in on Temple. I might've looked at, like, I don't know if I would have got in, but like Penn State, and that was about it. I wanted to go to a state school. So there was some mixed martial arts gyms in Philly at the time. You know, it was a pretty new thing still. It was like, and honestly, the one I went to is one of the only ones that was kind of like providing both. They had both Muay Thai classes and jiu-jitsu classes, which is pretty common now. But back then, that was like, you know, that was, this is before the Ultimate Fighter. Like that didn't even exist yet. Like that reality show had not come out. So like this was still pretty like hard, like NHB. Like it was, yeah, it was only legal in like Jersey and Nevada. You know, it was, again, the early day amateur fighting was not a thing yet. You know, I was involved in a lot of that stuff when it first came out. But yeah, so like basically went to college the fall of 2004. And like the couple days after I got to campus, I went and signed up at the MMA gym down in South Philly. And that was kind of like, I guess, like what I wanted to do. I mean, I got a degree and everything, but, you know, I was kind of, I don't know. I'm doing okay. But, yeah, it was like, I kind of just always wanted to be like an athlete or, you know, a fighter or something. So, that was kind of, I don't know. It was just, I just kind of like go where the wind takes me sometimes. And, can't always be that way.
Right.
I am so lucky. We could get into some stuff. Like my wife is amazing, and I would not be anywhere near where I'm at right now in anything without her. But which is part of what motivates me to like try to be successful in this, to kind of pay her back for everything that she sacrificed so that I can pursue some, you know, this stupid dream thing. but you know, that was 2004. So we just got really into it in high school for a few years. You know, this was like the Tito Ortiz, Chuck Liddell, Vitor Belfort when he first was starting, and then the Pride stuff was like Mirko Krokop, Fedor,
Rampage,
Vanderlei Silva. Those are the guys that I like still are like, you know, look up to,
or
like
brothers.
Exactly.
We can wrap this all.
Matt Hughes. I was a big GSP guy. I wanted to maybe start calling myself the GSP of professional wrestling, but I don't know if that'd fly.
And you know, there'd be some crossover. Some people would get that.
I almost just think it's funny. Like, what does that even mean? But yeah, he was one of the first guys that was like so good at everything, you know. Like I was talking about this with my wife the other day.
But he was one of those guys that like he like when he understood like a weak point, like he like utilized that to like to focus like his game up better, right? Because like he got beat by Matt Hughes, right, in wrestling, right? Not pro wrestling, but he got out wrestled. And so what did he do? Instead of like going to the board and like crying about it, he just started training with the Canadian national team.
Yeah.
And they even told him, they're like, yeah, you can compete on our team.
Yeah.
Actually, probably medal.
That's the thing that happened. I remember that. Yeah. He was like, he's amazing. I would love to meet him one day. That's what draws me to like, that's what I don't know. There's something about my personality that I like. That's what drew me to mixed martial arts too, is like the fact that you needed to be so good at so many different things. I don't know. There's something about that I really like. Like,
yeah.
Like during the Olympics, I like the decathlon. It's not on TV a lot, but like that's just something that kind of interests me. Like who's the best at like everything collectively? Yeah. I know they might not be. I think that's kind of like this is like part of the issue. It's like they might not be the best at any one thing, but across the board, they're very good at all these different things. And that's kind of, I don't know, something about that kind of trait, that kind of, you know, what do they call it? Like master of all trades, or you know, jack of all trades type of thing.
But it's interesting, right? Cause like Sorry, not that old. No, you're good. But it's one of those things. I love this. So, but like it, when martial arts, when UFC 1 started in Mick Nichols Arena, shout out to Denver, Colorado. everybody had a specialty, right? Like,
yes.
Obviously, Hoist was like the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu guy, right? You had this amazing wrestler in Ken Shamrock. You had guys who were good strikers. You had all these like incredible talents that were coming through, right? Not really understanding like the whole world, but then like GSP came in. He's like, all right, you got to be good at like everything, not just one or two things. You got to be good at everything. But then like now, if you look at it, like the UFC has changed, like mixed martial arts has changed again. And I say the UFC in particular because Bo Nickel is like this elite grappler. And he's really great at submissions and his ground game in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And then he's this amazing boxer who's only been boxing for like 2 years. It's so crazy to watch someone like him like grow. I remember like a few years back, man, I had actually called it. For those who watched this program a long time, Luda Franchise and I, we used to host this podcast called Get the KO. And God, man, it was like 2014. I'd called it like Aljamir Sterling had just started in the UFC. And I was like, that guy's gonna be a future world champion. And he was like, no, he's not. And then sure enough, like 6 years later, here's this man like holding a title, right? 6-7 years later, he's holding a title. And I was like, bro, like, it's so crazy to see that you can no longer be, you cannot just be average at everything. You have to have an elite skill, and then you have to be great at the other two. Plus, yeah, like your cardio game has to be on point too. Yeah. Like, let's not front. Like, Clay Guida was just known for having a motor and just running all day on people.
It's fascinating to me. I mean, I mean this is kind of like maybe not like controversial, but like I almost think like that's like people always, especially wrestling fans that are maybe also combat sports fans, they kind of love the old stuff. Like the style matchups in the 90s, like the UFCs, and then Pride was very like, you know, here's this 400-pound guy versus this 160-pound guy, you know, like, but
Bob Sapp, that's all I think about when
right,
I think
of that big ass dude. Matches. and I'll admit that stuff's very entertaining. And it's almost like now the UFC is like, it's almost like, I don't know, it's kind of boring because everybody is so great at like everything that nobody really stands out. Is that yep. You think that's sense. Real? Yeah. I mean, you know, that's kind of an issue I have with it a little bit. And like, and that's kind of what I like about, I think that's maybe what like wrestling fans like is there's still a lot of like stylistic kind of matchups.
Yeah.
I know it's not real or predetermined or whatever. So, but it's still like this, you know, it's sort of like two people with different styles sort of portraying this like fight or this, whatever, this wrestling match.
Yep.
And, I think that's what's intriguing to a lot of people. And, I think that's kind of cool that still exists in wrestling. I mean, with that being said, same thing I was saying about what drew me to mixed martial arts in terms of like being a jack of all trades. I feel like it's the same in wrestling. You have to be so good at so many different things if you want to be really good, in my opinion. Yep. Like, you got to have great cardio. You got to have, you know, you do need to have some type of level of, you don't have to be the strongest guy in the world, but like you do have to have some type of level of strength. You know, it's an incredibly athletic thing, especially the people that are doing it at the highest level. They are like some of the best athletes in the world in their own unique way. I realize they might not, you know, they'd probably lose a real fight to whatever, some unranked guy in the UFC, but like, that's not really what it's about. It's entertainment. It's about, you know, enjoying what you're watching. And so on top of all those things, being athletic, whatever, having a certain skill set, whether you're a high flyer, like a submission type guy or a striker or a power move, suplexes and throws, like you gotta be entertaining, you know, you have to, that's a whole nother skill set. So You have to be really good at a lot of different things.
Yeah, and I think that's where, like, so that's where for me, like, MMA and like wrestling, pro wrestling, like, come together, right? Because like, you hit it right on the nail, right? Like, the nail right on the head is that, like, great. So you're an excellent wrestler, right? You have great cardio. You have great wrestling. You know, what else can you bring to the table, right? And like, if you look in the UFC, great. You have great wrestling. You're a great submission artist, and you're great at fighting, and you have great cardio. What else can you bring? And then you look at someone like Conor McGregor, yeah, right? And what makes Conor separate from everybody else is that he's a great character.
Yep.
Like, he knows how to rile up crowds. He knows how to rile up people. Yep. And then people pay attention. They pay to watch him get beat, right? Yep. If he gets beat. And then if he wins, they just pisses him off even more. And it's like, you see this with wrestling. Like, great wrestling characters, like, stand out, and they make you want to watch them, which is like what's hard for me with, like, I don't want to say like I don't like WWE. I love WWE, right? But my problem, though, is that everybody's a great character. Everybody's a great wrestling. So now I'm looking for the X factor of what makes you different from everybody else. And like, I'm studying those kind of characters, right? Like, I love Macho Man, right? Because the Macho Man, like, he was great. He's a great character, right? He was a great wrestler. His timing is what separated him from everybody else. And I'm like, yo, like, I started breaking down, like, how do I get that? You know, obviously you got to be in the ring a lot, right? So you have to do a lot of matches. But like, everything mattered in those senses. And you have to find that one extra thing that makes you so much more unique than everybody else. And I think that's where I'm at now, like, watching and like understanding and breaking stuff down. Cause I'm like, cool, you're able to do these things. But I think for like me, like, the closest person that I would say is equivalent to like a Macho Man as far as like the timing goes is like, you have like Seth Rollins, but really Orange Cassidy is one of those guys too, because I like watching him. He's a great character. Plus, I don't know if I've seen a match where he's been out of timing and out of position. Like,
he's
always there.
I mean, so I
between Fire Ant and being OC, like,
but yeah, like, so he was one of my trainers, one of the people I trained with the most at the Wrestle Factory, and also then his character Fire Ant and the Colony are some of they were my favorite. So like, these I always like kind of credit those guys for just lighting the fire under my ass and kind of motivating me to kind of get into it. I have so much respect for those dudes. It's it's amazing. The guys that were given, you know, you're an ant, you know, and then they made it work and it was awesome. Like, it's just so good. And to see the kind of what a lot of them have accomplished and continue to accomplish in professional wrestling is just incredible to me. So one thing you said that I really like is like, and I say this a lot, and it always kind of bugs people a little bit, but like, how similar wrestling and pro wrestling and MMA are, you know? And I don't know many of the details with all the like the business merger, but I know they're all like under at WWE and the UFC are under like one kind of umbrella now or something, right? And it's because they're so similar. It's really the same thing. You're just trying to entice people to like buy a fight or like a, you know, you're like this thing. And so like exactly what you said, you know, the draw before, at least a long time ago, it might've been like the styles and like, and don't get me wrong, watching two people that are like at the top of their game, best in the world, that's still an awesome thing to watch. But the thing that's going to set a lot of MMA guys apart now is like, and this is probably frustrating for some of them, is like how they promote themselves and like how they talk and like kind of being a character. We've seen this with what's his name, and he's annoying as hell, Colby Covington, right?
Colby Covington,
like, yeah. I don't know the guy. I've heard he's maybe actually a nice person, or I've heard he's actually an asshole. I don't actually know. I don't know him at all. But I don't really like his character that he portrays. But that's kind of like he's trying to be a heel. You know, he's trying to be an MMA heel or whatever, or kind of just, and that's kind of like weird to some people, but it works. Like people want to see him get his ass kicked or like you said, they get upset when, you know, Connor was the best at it because I used to know this stat, but like, you know, he's lost like 6 of his last 7 fights or something. And he's still the top draw in the sport. Probably. Yep. Like, it's ludicrous. It's absolutely insane. But it's because he's so good at talking. So, I mean, it's the same in pro wrestling. It's similar. You can, you know, we didn't kind of touch on it a whole lot. We talked about all the skills that are make it necessary for you to be really great, but really the promotional stuff and the talking aspect are really probably the most important part, because that's really what gets butts in seats and eyes on screens, which is what the shit wouldn't exist if you couldn't do that. Like, if nobody's right. buying it, then it's not making any money, then it doesn't exist. So, you know, I realize there's a lot of layers to this, you know, like there's guys that are like the draws, like the promo guys, and maybe they're not the most athletic dudes. They don't do the craziest stuff, but like they're really good at hyping matches up and getting people excited for that. And then you have what, like the what do they call it? Like mid-card guys or whatever. Yep. That are like just like really good wrestlers, and they have like really good matches. And like, you know, they're not necessarily like what people are buying the thing for, but they're a great like appetizer on the way to that main event.
Yeah,
in terms of like a pay-per-view card, or even like a just a normal like Monday Night Raw or Dynamite kind of thing. So, I mean, wrestling's nuts. You know,
wrestling is it's crazy because you look at guys like, right. So we can take it into the mixed martial arts world, right? You look at someone like MVP, right? Michael Venom Page.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, welcome to the world of he's gonna be debuting in the UFC. But he is like an excellent shit talker. Like he will talk trash to you and then just beat your ass. And then like his showmanship in the ring is what kind of like set him apart, especially with Bellator and Strikeforce. And you look at those guys, because I mean, like, listen, like everybody loved Ronda Rousey in mixed martial arts until she lost, right? But she wasn't evolving her game. She was really dependent on her judo, and she was really depending on her submissions, right? And then she got into the ring with Amanda Nunes, and Amanda Nunes showed that not only is she pretty good at judo, she knew just enough to get by with her defense, and then she knocked out.
Yeah, well, it was Holly Holm first, right? And then Nunes.
Yeah, so Holly, and you know what's funny is that Ronda, I don't know if you saw the interview with Jimmy Kimmel right before the fight with Holly, but she's like, yeah, I'm not gonna be getting knocked out by a head kick. And that's what happened. And then a whole year later, here she is. And like, that's what I was saying, like Amanda, who is a pretty good showmanship herself, right? She was always walking around with the lion's mask, and then she had, you know, she was okay at like talking, but she had really great hands, and then she knew how to defend like a lot of judo, right? And she's great Brazilian jiu-jitsu artist as well.
Yeah.
And so she's went in there and just showed how like Ronda was on one level, but like she was on a whole nother level as well. And it was like, it was such a powerful thing to watch. And you're like, man. And then at the end, what did she do? She posted up a picture of her pushing a stroller with Ronda in the seat. I was like, yo, this is what we're talking about. See, I love people like that. I love people who can just shit talk and keep shit talking.
Yeah, it definitely, In mixed martial arts, I guess, you know, it's been around for forever in combat sports. Like that's you know, Muhammad Ali was a phenomenal boxer, but like so good at talking and like and hyping stuff up.
Floyd.
Because again, it's not like his fights were spectacular. You know, I mean, he's obviously one of the best to ever do it, but.
Yep.
They weren't like, you know, these Deontay Wilder, you know, fights or like before him, like Mike Tyson. Like I compare Ronda's run to like Tyson's, it was just how fast is she going to tap her opponent out? Like, She even did get a couple TKOs in there, I think. But, like, yeah, I mean, she eventually, it kind of caught up to her, like, her not really evolving past her, like, really strong judo background and her not really developing much of a striking game. But it was, I give her so much credit. Like, she was the top draw, you know, a female was the top draw in a combat sport in the entire world. Like,
yep.
There was no one. She was the biggest ticket. And I feel like that's definitely something she can hang her hat on for the rest of her life. Like, who, I know she probably has a lot of haters for, you know, the way her career kind of ended, but, like, whatever, she kind of revolutionized the sport and, you know, really kind of set women's MMA on the map, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about a guy like Dana saying women will never fight. Yeah, in the UFC, and here comes Ronda. Yeah. You know, and then he bought Strikeforce, yeah, just to get Ronda. I was like, bro, that's crazy. Zuffo was just like, yeah, we'll just shell it out. Listen, I guess I should track this back, right? Back to the wrestling side of things. But what's one of the hardest lessons you've had to learn being in the business?
I don't know. That's tough. Hardest. I don't know. That's hardest lessons. I don't know. I guess I could say this stuff. I mean, I have some, like, kind of pessimistic views on some things sometimes. Like, you know, I guess I shouldn't frame it like that. But I think wrestling is, you know, since it's an entertainment, like a form of entertainment, it doesn't necessarily matter how hard you work. Or, like, basically, you're not really necessarily in control of your own fate, like you maybe would be in mixed martial arts. Like, even that, though, you know, like, guys win fights and then still don't get title shots or whatever because somebody, Dana or whoever, doesn't think there would be a draw or whatever, for whatever reason. And pro wrestling's obviously the kind of the other end of the spectrum. Like, you know, it doesn't necessarily. Again, you're just kind of not in control of your own fate. Like, you can, the cream kind of does rise to the top, but I'm sure we can think of examples of people that just, like, were killing it on a lower tier of wrestling companies. It just never really broke through to the top, you know, like to whatever, yeah, got into WWE, because there's only so many spots, and then there's a couple people that are kind of the ones that make all the decisions. And again, it's an entertainment business. It's not like legitimate sport or anything. So it's not like you can, you know, like, oh, I'm winning all my matches. Like, you know, none of that matters. But so I feel like that kind of, not that I didn't know that, but, like, I feel like it's become more and more clear to me over these last year or two, that, like, it doesn't matter how hard I bust my butt or anything. It just might not be in the cards, you know, like, I don't know. I've had to maybe, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, like, I have similar issues with, you know, I can have high anxiety and, other things. Like, I've done a lot of stuff to help with, like, mental preparation before matches or just kind of leading into things. Like, there's this guy, Brian Kane. He's like a mental performance coach for a lot of athletes. Like, he works with UFC guys and, like, baseball. He's really kind of was into baseball at first for, like, pitchers and stuff. Cause those guys are dealing with the highest pressure situations. You know, it's like, you got, yeah, it's a World Series and you know, if you fuck up, you let everybody down and the millions of fans and all that kind of stuff. There's, like, so much pressure when it comes to sports. You know, and I put so much pressure on myself for, you know, wrestling down the street in front of, like, 50 people or whatever, maybe less. And I feel like the weight of the world sometimes. And so, yeah, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, I would put that pressure because I would always be worried that or think like, you know, somebody might see this or whatever. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's like every match is important, but no match is special. If that makes sense. It's like I've been trying to kind of like take, not put so much weight on every single match, and trying to relax and trying to have more fun in the moment. And you know, this is, I feel like a lot of this is sort of like, what's the word? Like stuff you've heard before, but like, you know, I'm trying to enjoy the journey, not worry about the destination, that kind of thing. Yeah. A lot of that kind of stuff. So in terms of like lessons that I've learned, like that's what I've been trying to do more. It's like, I've almost been trying to get like retire from trying to get signed or whatever. Cause I just like put so much pressure on myself, and it's making things like not fun. I don't enjoy it. I want to stop. Yeah. So I've been trying to like turn things around and like, you know, just get in a better mindset about all this stuff and trying to, and you know, because again, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, like we're not spring chickens, you know. I don't know, these guys that are making these decisions, you know, I'll say I had somebody in my inbox at one point from a prominent company or something, and when it got to how old I was, I stopped getting messages. So like it's just, you know, certain companies aren't interested in anyone over 25 or whatever, just because they want to build you from the ground up kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, I know that was kind of a broad answer, but I guess, yeah, like short, just to kind of make things a little more concise, it's like we're not necessarily in control of our own fate, but you can't worry about what you can't control. Yeah. And that's big when it comes to like, you know, just focusing on what you can control helps with my nerves and with my anxiety, because there's certain things I worry about all the time, but a lot of it is just outside of the scope of anything that I could, there's nothing I can do about it. So like, why am I letting it bother me? But this, you know, all this stuff comes with a lot of practice, and just like, yeah, I've been seeing my own like kind of sports performance coach to kind of help with this kind of stuff. Cause yeah, I just get, you know, I'd get real nervous for fights too, like MMA fights, you know, a long time ago. And I probably lost a match or two from just my mental. Like I remember getting in the ring one time and I could barely hold my hands up. Like I was just toasted, and we hadn't even started the fight yet. It was just like, I think it was just from nerves. My heart rate probably had been going for like 24 hours or more, and I just couldn't calm myself down because it was just so kind of so amped up.
I can share a story with you off air. You guys don't get that kind of thing. I'll share a story with you off air that you'll be like, oh shit, and then we could talk about it, because I can relate to where you're coming from, especially when you're just so like, you have so much energy and so amped up, and then all of a sudden like you're not hitting full performance like you need to be. I could definitely, I'll relate with you about that. But we're gonna jump into my favorite part of the podcast, which is the 3-count podcast, 10-count questions. And Mr. Mikowski, this is how it's gonna work. I'm gonna fire off 10 questions at you rapid fast, and whatever your answer is your answer.
I'm gonna try.
All right, so we're gonna put on the imaginary timer for added pressure.
Okay.
And in the words of my favorite commentator, Mike Goldberg, here we go. SmackDown or Raw?
Raw.
Favorite movie?
Predator.
Apple or Android?
Android.
Favorite cartoon?
X-Men, the animated series. X-Men.
Let's go. PlayStation or Xbox?
PlayStation.
Favorite actor?
Tom Hanks.
I like it.
Or Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Either one. KOs or submission?
Oh, man. I mean, KO.
Those are always fun.
I know I'm a sub guy, but yeah.
Favorite podcast?
I can't remember the name of it. It'd be probably the Brian Kane podcast, the guy, the mental performance coach. I've gotten a lot of great things from that.
Okay, cool. Nominate one person that you want to see on this podcast.
Maybe a Travis Huckabee. Has he ever been here?
No, he has not.
He's on that grind show that we were talking about earlier. He's probably wrestling maybe right now on IWTV.
And last but not least, my favorite question to ask every single person who comes on this podcast, favorite curse word.
Favorite curse word? Yeah. I don't know. Probably the F word.
Hey, don't worry. Fuck is allowed on this.
Okay. Word,
yeah. We're not getting. Listen. We know that we're never getting monetized by YouTube because like there's nothing to talk about on the show. Yeah. So we're okay with that.
I got you.
But no, man. That's all my questions for you. So the last thing I need from you is to let everybody know, our listeners and our viewers know where they can find you.
Oh, I'm on Twitter at or X at the Matt Mikowski and Instagram at Matthew Mikowski.
Well, there you go. He told you where you can find him, gave you his handle, so you guys know what to do. Go look him up and give him a follow. But like my favorite part of a wrestling match, we got to take this home. Because this is the 3 Count Podcast that is now entering, and I'm your host, Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. But you know, like I said, it's never about me. It's about who's entering. So who's entering? You see him right there. Weapon X himself, Matt Mikowski. You guys know what to do. Tune in to the next episode and be there. Or you're really just subscribing to our YouTube channel. You're following us on Spotify. You're even listening to us on Amazon Music because we're there too. Or on iHeartRadio or whatever that dumb jingle is that they do. You're buying our merch on Pro Wrestling Tees or on ForYourWear.com. You're sharing this with your friends, your family, your mom, your dog, your enemies, because we love haters too. You're doing all that stuff. You're liking this content, or you're really just kind of waiting for this episode to end. You're waiting for the outro, and then you're choosing another episode to listen to. Kawaii.
What's going on? It is Clifford Red Dog Miller, the man that leads you up that mountain called wrestling. And what we need from you guys is to kind of show some support, right? We want you guys to go to our YouTube channel at the 3 Count Podcast, go on to our Twitch channel, 3 Count Pod, or even our Facebook page, 3 Count Podcast, and just give us a like, follow, subscribe, even give us a comment, right? Do all that cool stuff. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it with your enemies, right? Or you can even come talk to us and just chat us up, right? Find us on Twitter at 3Count_Pod. Find us on IG and on TikTok at 3 Count Pod. Go ahead and leave us those comments. We want to hear from all of you guys. We're going to keep putting on videos and stuff like that. We want to keep making this content better, so we want your guys' support. Also, if you guys want to, go support us at ProWrestlingTees.com/the3CountPodcast or even find us on ForYourWear.com. Give us a support. Show us your guys' love because we want to give it right back to y'all. So, in the meantime, love y'all.